Blog Talk Radio.
John Link, actor, occultist, anarchist, researcher, and we have no guests this time. Cameron, director, filmmaker Cameron Scott is running the switchboard. Oh, Cameron.
Hi, John. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, well, not too good. The scumbag, my mentally retarded brother, is home. Had to lock myself in a room so he don't interfere, disturb me.
Is that who I heard you yelling at?
Yeah, that's who, the scumbag. Oh. Yeah. Now,
so what do?
Yeah, first of all, I want to give get well wishes to our friend Amira Lynn, who broke her leg a few days ago. Yeah, a bad break, I understand. The tibia and fibia and her ankle, too.
And who did this happen to?
Amira Lynn. actress, belly dancer. She's a filmmaker too. She's in the forthcoming Hollywood Warrioress, which is starring Debbie D, produced, directed, and starring Debbie D and Edward X. Young and me. I play Mad Dog. Yeah. Hopefully that movie will be coming out soon.
And then I'll say that's coming out on DVD pretty soon, isn't it?
I sure hope so. Yeah. Now. My topic tonight is a book review of Mastering Astral Projection by Robert Bruce and Brian Mercer. Robert Bruce is a giant of astral projection. He has written several books before this. What makes him unique is he discovered a technique, his energy exercises, which control the astral body. Now, this book, Mastering Astral Projection, is a comprehensive book, 90-day guide to out-of-body experience. Now, Brian Mercer is a student of Robert Bruce, and he is the co-author. Now,
just as a suggestion, because we do actually have a few people in the chat room, give them a quick explanation or a definition of what astral projection is. I know a little bit about it, but maybe they don't.
Well, it's out of body when you travel out of your body, out of the physical body. Now, this book covers several kinds of astral projection, several kinds of out-of-body experience. Now, including lucid dreaming, which I'm very experienced at. I first taught myself to do lucid dreaming in the late 60s. The book I learned from was Astral Projection by Oliver Fox. Now, Oliver Fox's book is really more about lucid dreaming than astral projection. Oliver Fox used an antiquated terminology. This was before they had the term lucid dreaming. And most of what Oliver Fox wrote about is really lucid dreaming. Now, this book, Mastering Astral Projection, this new book, let me read some of the chapters. The greatest book to come out in years. A 90-day program, stimulating the energy body. Because Robert Bruce's energy exercises are really unique and important. Energy body
I've experiences with lucid dreaming. I've had a little bit of experience with that myself.
You
want to
talk about it?
Well, no, I don't want to take away from what you're doing, but I've had experiences much more when I was younger with lucid dreaming, where I've had experiences where I've been kind of just outside myself in a way that I couldn't quite explain and at the time couldn't understand. Actually, I didn't know the term lucid dreaming until you and I had talked about it. And I've actually done a little little studying up on it since then, but maybe a story for another show. But just so you know, I actually know what you mean.
Now, the first 15 years or so that I practiced lucid dreaming, I didn't know the term. I thought it was astral projection, because that's the term that Oliver Fox was using. Now, what this book says about lucid dreaming, it gives the reality check. And what's new to me about this is that Robert Bruce says to practice the reality check while one is awake, make it a habit to condition one to wake up in the dream. Now, I've been doing the reality check for years, but I haven't done it while awake to condition myself. Now, this is an innovation, a revelation to me. Now, about a week ago, I had a good lucid dream. The way I started it, I was dreaming, and I noticed something in the dream, an object disappeared, and I thought, am I dreaming? And then I did the reality check. I put my hand against the wall and concentrated, and it's something penetrating the wall. Now, when I first taught myself to do lucid dreaming, I had watched the movie Fourth Dimensional Man, starring Robert Lansing, the 1959 movie, and that triggered my first experience. And then I studied the Oliver Fox's book intensively, and I learned so much from it, and I got very skilled at it. Now, and I was doing it for years until, see, my mentally retarded brother was going to college years away, and I had much less stress in those days, the 70s, because that you-know-what wasn't here. But now I have so much stress that it's very difficult for me to do lucid dreaming. Now, this method, I think I'll be able to start the lucid dream a different way, the way Robert Bruce says, condition myself to the reality check while awake. Yeah, I should have thought of that years ago. Yeah, now, to get back to the lucid dream I did a few days ago, I penetrated the wall, this is a dream, and I stretched my arms out horizontally to fly. And I used a mantra that I've used for years. This is a dream, I am out of body. This is a dream, I am out of body. This is so that I don't lapse back, lose the lucidity and lapse back into an ordinary dream. So this book holds promise for me to learn how to start the lucid dream a different way. Yeah. So now, the rest of the book covers several different ways of out of body experience. Let's see. Oh, it's chapters. Let's see. Rattle off the chapters. Week one, and it was a 90-day program. Week one, flexing your astral muscles. Week two, manipulating the energy body. Week three, mind taming. Week four, primary centers and the OBE connection. Week five, trance practice. Week six, loosening up the energy body. Week seven, anatomy of an OBE. Week eight, overcoming mental blocks. Week nine, dreams and the OBE. Week 10, troubleshooting. Week 11, advanced methods. Week 12, after the exit. Week 13, basics of OBE navigation. Yeah, this is a very important book. I recommend it to all.
And when did this book come out? When was the release date?
Let's see. It edition, 10th printing, copyright 2004.
That's pretty recent.
10th printing 2014. I'm surprised I didn't know about it years ago. See, I read all of Robert Bruce's other books, and I didn't know about this one. Yeah, all Robert books, Robert Bruce's books are very, very important. Excellent. Recommend. Yeah, now, I didn't know the you-know-what would be home now when I did this. If he wasn't, I would be much more relaxed. And I would be
fine.
Huh?
I said, you seem to be doing fine. You seem,
yeah, well,
you seem a little bit quiet.
Doing much better if that thing wasn't here to make me stressed. Yeah. Yeah, he proved, my brother Fred, proved that a mentally retarded person can graduate college if his parents are paying for him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say that happens.
Wow. Yeah, well, I could talk much more about this if I was relaxed. Hopefully, in later shows, I'll be talking about my progress in mastering Robert Bruce's other methods that are all covered in the book. Yeah, now, let's see what else we could talk about now, because if I had known that thing would be home, I wouldn't have done this, would have postponed this particular subject, but let's see, what else can we talk about?
I wish I had you to talk about, but I was counting on this on this subject to keep us going. I wasn't thinking of...
Yeah, in later weeks, I'll be talking much more about it as I master the various methods in this book. I'll have much more to talk about it. Because I don't like to talk about it until after I've mastered something. The same with a film shoot. I don't like to talk about it until it's in the can. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, it's many times in the past I've had projects of my own that I was talking about and started that, you know, never seen the light of day. So this is one of those. You risk talking about something that may or may not ever be, so I understand.
But this will be, and in the weeks to come, I'll talk much more about it now that I'm working on this book. Now, let's see what else we could talk about, what I'm doing. I'm working on Bigfoot Blood Trap by director John Arricchio. The director had been sick for like a month with the flu, I think, and walking pneumonia, but we'll be continuing on Bigfoot Blood Trap very soon. And now, what else I'm doing? Hopefully, I'll be finishing Revenge of the Devil Bat by director Ted Mooring, yeah. And hopefully, director Victor Bonacore will be finishing Blood Wings, which was starring Ruby LaRocca.
You and your husband and wife in that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, Linnea plays my wife. I play the head of a satanic cult. Yeah, and Linnea, all her lines were in Italian, and none of us spoke Italian, not even Victor. He had difficulty with writing those lines.
That's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. He had to call relatives to help him with that. Now, let's see, it's been five years since we started that movie.
I picked up one of your films the other day. I was actually at a pawn shop that I go to that has a huge, huge, huge selection of DVDs and Blu-rays, and I picked up a copy of Invasion of the Reptoids with you and Edward.
Oh, yeah, that's by Ted Moran. What did you think of it? Did you watch it yet?
Yeah, actually, I watched it. I have to admit, I think it was one of your best acting roles. You had a really big part in it. It was a chance for you to kind of, you know what I mean, to play something that wasn't just like a cameo or a small role. I thought you had a really decent part. It was the first time I'd seen a movie with you and Ed together where you had a hell of a lot more screen time than he did. So that was different.
Well. Yeah.
Black and white, too. You know me, I love black and white films. But, I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I love that kind of era of, you know what I mean, the black and white big monster movie kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Ted explained to me why he put it out in black and white. I told him he should have a color version and a black and white version, and the second version constitutes a different movie. So it could have distributed by a different company, the color version.
Huh.
Which we hope wasn't as heavily edited as this version.
So the black and white version is the longer version?
No. If he ever gets an edition in color, I guess it will be less edited.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll take that suggestion. I have to talk to him about that. Yeah, they get back to Blood Wings. Who knows when Victor will be finishing the movie. The little girl who plays Ruby LaRocca's character in the movie, probably, when they continue with it, she'll be like 6 feet tall. By the time Victor gets the movie distributed, everybody I know will be dead of old age.
Well, let's hope not.
Now let's see. What else am I doing? There's James Balsamo's movie Bite School, which was a fun shoot. What else? Another one by James Balsamo. I don't know which one. Where I did the scene where I was impaled by a machete, and I was all covered in the fake blood, and I let out a scream, and it was at night, and Balsamo's parents upstairs opened the window and were yelling, "No, you're waking up the whole neighborhood," and Balsamo was saying, I'll dub it. I said, I'm a real actor. Yeah. Well, anyhow, I don't know what movie that scene is being edited into. Let's see what else I'm doing. I'm sure there's something else. I just can't remember it. Let's see. How is that? Cameron, how is Postmortem America coming along? Being distributed?
I'm still in the midst of self-distribution at the moment. It is in the hands of, Edward got it in the hands of the people at Wild Eye Releasing, which they're looking at it, they're considering it. Mm-hmm. I have another company that is actually just recently in the last 2 weeks here also is taking a look at it, and everything's kind of in the consideration stage. I haven't got a definite yes or, but I also haven't gotten a definite no from anybody. So at this point, even a maybe is better than a no. But yeah, I'm still kind of in limbo.
Well, how long does it run?
2 hours, 5 minutes.
Ooh, wow.
It's beginning and credits, but without credits, it's about an hour and 45. The ending is a kind of a music video sequence, so the end credits are about 12 minutes long, which is a little bit longer than most. But it's most, like I said, mostly just like a music video sequence kind of. We had so many people, the zombies, and there was so much footage that we had ended up on the cutting room floor. So it's kind of a montage.
Well, you should have included the deleted footage and extras. As extras.
There is on the DVD. Yeah. There is a 9 deleted scenes. Sorry, and plus the alternate ending, which is on there. So technically 11, or 10 deleted scenes. Sorry. So yeah, DVD. We're trying to get a deal where we are going to put out a limited number, at least for now. Me and Thomas Verdinsky, who helped who did the editing and did some of the CGI and whatnot at the end, in the post-production phase, we're looking into getting a few extras and maybe even a couple commentary tracks and a making-of documentary put together for a Blu-ray release.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to do a commentary track.
Have you done a commentary track before?
Oh, I have, yeah, for Road Hell by, that was done by Pete Jacalone and Draven Gonzalez.
Is that available? You and Ed have talked about that.
Oh, it is, yeah. It's distributed by EI Independent Cinema.
Oh, okay. I had no idea. I was wondering myself because I know you and Ed had talked about that one quite a bit.
Yeah, that's one of my, and I did the commentary track for my segment. It's a house movie, like 4 different segments. Mine, The Happy Couple, is the wraparound for the movie. I play a sleazy, debauched, degenerate, transvestite, axe murderer, whatever else he is, character.
And whatever else they want you to do.
Yeah. And I was in another one of Pete Jacalone's movies. This is what is referred to as a sausage movie. Intended for a gay male audience. I don't even remember the title, but I don't get nude in it. But Ed does. Yeah, Ed will get nude for. He'll get naked for in a gay movie for money. The only time I did that was. On Blood Wings with Linnea and for no money.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, we got about seconds before we go into the after party. Did you do you want to sign off 30 minutes or keep this going?
Well, isn't everybody who's listening, they still going to be listening?
Download it in the archives, yes, but in about 90 seconds, nope, 60 seconds, we'll go off live. So the people in the chat room won't be able to hear us for a moment.
Well, the people who are listening on their phones, won't they still be able to hear it?
Yes, as long as they don't hang up and try to call back in, they'll still be able to hear us.
Yeah, aha. So everybody will still be listening.
Yeah, just keep listening and don't hang up. Hang up, you can't call back in.
Don't hang up, yeah. Let's see, what else? Oh, Cameron, you haven't sent me a copy of the full-length Postmortem America yet.
Didn't Edward give you one? I sent him a whole bunch of them.
Ooh. No. I remember long ago you gave me a short copy, like 20 minutes, half hour.
Yeah, that was a promo copy. I cut a short film version. It was kind of like a prequel to the post-war, and that's post-war America, the beginning. And that was like a prequel short film version. But no, I'll get some more copies, and like I said, I'd give them some to Ed.
Ed hasn't given me a copy yet.
I kept them all for him.
Yeah. Whenever I'm at a show with him, he says, let me see if I can sell them first. And then at the end, he says, he packed them away. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ed is doing a karaoke tonight, I believe. Yeah.
I thought he was eliminated.
He lost. He lost. But he's doing something. He told me a few hours ago. I forgot. Well, let's see. What else am I doing? Are there other things you're working on?
Right now, I'm just working on some writing projects, until I get those done, I'm not really planning to film anything until I get the script done. I get some funding in place, because we were talking about, I try not to talk about a project unless I know for sure it's going to shoot, and I can raise the mood again. I don't want to. I don't want to get into that, starting a project that won't get finished, so nothing definite.
If I was more relaxed, if that thing wasn't here with me, I'd be thinking of much more things to say.
Did you have another section of the book or another excerpt of the book that you'd read us?
Well, let's see. I don't read out loud out of a book. People turn off that way. It's so comprehensive. In later weeks, I'll be talking about this more as I master the other methods besides lucid dreaming. The book contains a brainwave generator, this CD. Now, this is optional. I don't intend to use it until after I really master the other methods in the book. But that is optional. Yeah. Methods in the book work without the question I have,
astral projection and the lucid dream are both kind of in the same realm, right? I mean, if you mastered
both out of body experience, OBE,
if you've mastered, you can kind of understand the other, correct?
The greatest astral projector was Aleister Crowley. He used the Golden Dawn Body of Light method, which I've long wanted to master. Now, this book, I have reason to believe that Robert Bruce's energy exercises build up the Body of Light. See, Crowley's written instructions were so oversimplified. He never went into really detail about how to formulate the Body of Light. The Body of Light of an artificially created astral body that you transfer your consciousness in. And Crowley could do it as easy as taking off his overcoat, he claimed. And, that is the Golden Dawn Body of Light method is really the best method to use. See, the first and second generation Golden Dawn used the Body of Light method, but then it went into disuse. Nobody today uses the Body of Light method. Instead, they use a path working, a watered down version of the Golden Dawn astral projection methods. Now, the other Golden Dawn method is the symbol method or the astral doorways. The way Crowley used the astral doorways, he would first go out of the body and with the Body of Light method. Then he would go straight up and go through various astral doorways, like with the I Ching. Now there was a book, Witchcraft by William Seabrook, and Seabrook had been taught to do this by Crowley. He knew Crowley, and the book Witchcraft by William Seabrook apparently he fictionalized a lot of things in the book, but. And Crowley was, when he read the book, was so mad that Seabrook had said things that never happened. But the book Witchcraft is valuable for the account, the use of the I Ching doorway. Now there was an episode of One Step Beyond that they based it on the I Ching method as written in Seabrook's book. And that was the first I ever learned that this was the episode came out in 59, the first I ever learned of the I Ching doorways. And then in the 60s, Dark Shadows. On Dark Shadows, they used one of the books they used for the research was Witchcraft by William Seabrook, and they used the I Ching doorways in the Count Potofi period as a time travel method, which it didn't belong there anyhow. But they needed something to use for the time travel. So see how that book was, it influenced various TV productions. Let's see, what else I say? I wish that you-know-what wasn't here. I'd be much more relaxed and talk about this. Oh, so many different... methods in this book. The book Mastering Astral Projection includes a CD-ROM with, huh?
I did read once in an article about pre-lucid dreaming, where like
pre-lucid. What a pre-lucid dream is that, I'll see in the dream the deceased person, and I'll think, why did I think so and so was dead? But then if I arouse my critical faculty, I'll think, am I dreaming? And then I'll do the reality test, and I'll say, oh, yeah, this is a dream. Yeah. So I have started lucid dreams that way in later years. Yeah, that's what a pre-lucid dream is. A false awakening is when you experience lucid dreaming, and you dream you woke up. Yeah, my first false awakening was when I was 5 years old, and I didn't even know what happened. You wake up and you think, oh, it's light, and then you go back to sleep, and you drift off, and then, oh, it's dark again. Yeah.
Now, what is, maybe you know the term because I don't recall it off the top of my head, but you're in the dream state, you're having a dream. You wake up, and when you go back to sleep, you go back and you kind of you go back into the same dream. I know I've read about that. I don't know that I've ever don't ever recall experiencing that, but do you know what the term for that is? I know it's
that's
not
covered in this book, I believe. A few times I've experienced that over the years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd heard of it, but I wasn't sure what the term was. I remember bits and pieces about it, but I never recall.
Re-entering the dream. Numerous times I'm in the lucid dream. I try. The idea is not to break the paralysis. You just keep going in and out of the body in the lucid dream that way. And if you don't break the paralysis, the sleep paralysis that some people experience that are scared. And to me, it's such a common occurrence. I've experienced it so many times over the years. Yeah, the phenomenon, the night hag, is connected with that. Actress Eileen Dietz has done a short. We saw this at the Macabre Fair New York Horror Show last month, where she plays a night hag. That's when you're in the sleep paralysis and you feel the sensation of pressure on your chest. And it may be just the feeling of the bed covers on you, because when you're in the lucid dream, your physical senses are magnified when I first was learning to do lucid dreaming, and this was in 69, I had a job as a night watchman, and they had me in this shed with all of a fireworks company, and I fell asleep in the chair, and I hear a dropping dripping faucet, and it's louder and louder and louder, like a drum. And then I fly into the lucid dream, which Oliver Fox referred to this as instantaneous projection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we got about, We got about 60 seconds left. If there's something you want to touch base on in the next 60 seconds before we actually...
I could rattle off the people who croaked recently, but I don't want to do that. It gets Rudolph Gray depressed. I only do that when I run out of things to say. Rudolph, if you're listening. Cut us off. Get well wishes to Rochelle Davis's husband, Kenny. He has been very sick recently. Yeah.
I was reading about that. How is he doing? Is he recovering?
Gradually, I believe. But Rochelle Davis has a fund me website, and she's really in financial trouble because of this. Yeah, if my brother hadn't wiped me out at the beginning of the month, I would be contributing something to